Who told you you were naked? Tell your neighbor, who told you? Very important. In life, you must give references. The Lord is very scientific in his thinking. What's your reference? The Lord didn't say, how did you know? Did he say so? Did you check? The question was, who gave you that communication? You need communication to start reasoning wrongly. Yes, it's only when you have been communicated we start thinking upside down. The Lord looked at him and said, who told you you were naked? Where did that information come from? He didn't say, how did you research it? Did you do an experiment? No, the question was, who told you you were naked? Information, I told you, words are very powerful. Words are what? Very powerful. You know my best reference there. Terry Myers wanted to marry Jackie Myers. And Jackie Myers said to Terry Myers, I will not be able to have children. And he said, who said so? That is, the veracity of the information is only as good as its source. You are getting my point. It's only as good as its source. Who told you you were naked? Everything you believe about yourself was a question. Who said it? Listen, anyone that was not said by God is a lie. Did I hear an amen? Who told you we die young? Say, see, my father said, in the last generations, no man in our family has lived beyond the age of 45. Is it a lie? It depends on who. What do you mean by lie? From our context today, is it a lie? Yes, it's a lie. Because when they said, who told you? You said, my father said. That makes it a lie. Do you get my point? Who told you? What did God say? Because I said, that Romans chapter 4, when Paul was analyzing it, he said, Abraham in hope believed against hope. Hope, we explained, is the expectation that's born out of evidence, out of information. Do you get the point? If you get a text message now, transaction notification, GT Bank, credit, 25,000 naira, on your, give you the figure, the number of your account. You understand? Your balance now is 28,950. You take your ATM and you toss it like this. The money when you say you don't get, I just say, GTV don't tell you say you get her. So you go near there. And you're not, maybe tell the recharge card, what? Give me 15 MTN, 1,000 Glo, 1,000 Visa phone. Give me Zane, you know, everything. Should I scratch it? Say, go ahead, scratch it. And you're in front of the ATM. You know, you have not collected the money. You understand my point? But you just got the text message. Are you getting my point? That is called what? Hope. It's called what? Hope. Hope is not a wish. No. Hope is not a wish. Hope is when you get information. Do you understand my point? And it produces expectation. We call that expectation what? Hope. So then the guy scratched the card. Your friend that you were owing, you call him and say, Emeka, how far? At the house for evening. From 5, I go there. Come collect them. How much? You know, the young guy, 3-5. Come collect them. Why? Because he got a text message. Who told you you had money? GT Bank. Transaction notification. I think it's not explained. Do you get my point? If before then you wanted to buy food and somebody said, don't buy it. We can't pay. They have not paid salaries. They haven't paid. And you say, hey, I go chop this night. I know say man go sleep hungry. You understand? Then that text message came. See, first you had hope. And what was that first hope? A negative hope. That you will stay hungry. But now a new hope came, not out of a wish, not out of nowhere, but from the bank itself, saying that, yes, money has been paid into your account. You go ahead and buy the food. Are you getting my point? So what happened to Abraham? He had hope. Hope from what his father told him. From what the society told him. When a man reaches this age and a woman reaches this age, they can no longer have a child. And he concluded honestly, what do you give me seeing that I go childless? Fair conclusion, based on evidence. But God said, who told you you will go childless? Was it me? Abraham said, no. So now let me tell you what I am saying. You will not go childless. Your wife will bear a son. And a father of many nations is what I have made you. That's a new expectation. The first one, physically, it looked like it was good. It was accurate. It was correct. You understand my point? But we know that once it falls short of the glory of God, it's a lie. Are you getting my point? So that one, your father told you, nobody in my generations ever lived beyond the age of 45 has suddenly been declared what? A lie. Why? Because a new word comes that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit will give life to your mortal body. You will live beyond the age of 45 and double the age of 45 nicely. Do you get my point? That is the will of God. There's one scripture I said we should read then. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. The sayings of God. What did God say? We're not talking about our experiences. We are just saying this is what God said. If you don't have it, grab a copy of my tract, A Prayer for Your Healing. I don't know what, do we have it there? We have it there. Everybody, please read it and get a copy. Some of this we are saying is new to a lot of people. That's why I give somebody that tract and bring me back a testimony. You hear what I said? Say amen if you believe that now.
Amen.
Take a copy, read it. And listen, I don't mean, you know, I've heard people say that I've read this one before. No, that's not what I'm talking about. In fact, I'm one person that hardly buy books I've not read before. Now, I'm not saying I never buy. I'm saying if I buy 10 books, 5 of them, 6 of them, 8 of them, I've read before. Most of the time, I borrowed from somebody I read, or I owned it long ago. And if I have a book, and it blessed me, that's a book you are guaranteed I'll read 50 times. In fact, I don't count how many times I read them. I just keep it there. Periodically, I just take it, move through 2, 3, 4, 5 pages, drop it, pick it, read it. That's just the way I read. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Peter said, even though I know you know these things, I will not stop reminding you of them. You have read it before, it's nonsense when it comes to the word of God. You take it and read it again. You take it and do what? Read it again. God gave them a commandment to Israel. He gave a commandment to their kings that you would give him a copy of this law. Let him write it with his own hands. When he finishes writing, he will start reading. When he finishes reading, he will start reading. When he finishes reading, he will start reading. When he finishes, he will start again. He said, this he will do all the days of his life. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? Grab a copy. Read it. It is not just whether you have read it before. It's every time you read it, there's a communication of divine power. That's what I'm talking about. Like I was saying at the beginning, faith is not when I need it. I suddenly wake up by force. Faith that wasn't there. No. And don't let's do like the foolish virgins who started looking for oil only when they needed it. What am I saying? Build your faith before the time of crisis. You hear what I said? Build that faith before the time of crisis. Somebody say, laugh at the devil. If you don't find it funny, you won't laugh. Are you getting my point? What will make it funny is when the devil tells you what is not in line with what you knew before then. That's why it is funny. It's only when you have information you can laugh at the devil. You get my point? What am I saying? Feed your heart with this information. Feed your heart with it. Feed it. Why I refer to the book, the tract actually, is because in there I made a statement about what people call incurable. And I want to say to you again today, there is nothing like an incurable disease with God. So he said, open there, Jeremiah chapter 32, from verse 26. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. We're talking about the sayings of God. Saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? That's what I want to read from there. What he was saying is simple. No. There is nothing that is too difficult for him. He said in Exodus chapter 15, let's quickly read that again. The sayings of God. What did God say? Exodus chapter 15. He said in verse 26. And he said, if you will give earnest heed. Now let me just tell you, what does King James say there? Who asked King James? If you are hacking. Yes, diligently hacking. Very good. I just want to confirm that that's what he said. I don't read King James so much these days, so I forget it. And he said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight. Now, what I just want to say, okay, let's finish reading it, and then I will now say what I want to say. And give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. He said, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Literally, I was listening to Derek Prince. He said, the literal word there says, I'm the Lord, your doctor. That's what he will say. Are you getting my point? That is, if I have a complaint, I tell it to him, he provides healing. You are getting what I'm saying? But the first thing I want to just bring up from there is that word, diligently hearken. Diligently hearken. Now, let me quickly tie this together. God says, in effect, I'm the Lord, your doctor. There is nothing too difficult for me to solve. That is, as far as God is concerned, there is no disease called incurable. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said, there is no disease called incurable.
Amen.
Now, let me quickly emphasize that thing. The word diligently hearken, that's what I'm trying to teach believers all these days. The word diligently hearken, the way it comes to us, in the way it sounds in English, is as if, or give earnest heed to, you know, as if you do what I'm saying quickly. But literally what he said is, the literal Hebrew says, if you shall listen, listening. I don't know what I hear what I said. That's why I like the way my New American said, if you shall pay earnest heed, give earnest heed. The word is attention. It is not first obedience. It is first of what? Attention. First of all, it is what? Attention. It is not obedience first. This is the mistake Christians make. We want to start with obedience. What are the keys to divine healing? That is, what do I do? What do I say? How do I say it? Are you getting my point? No, that's not where it starts from. It is first of all paying attention. There is something I want to say quickly. This has been my own experience. If you're normally a very healthy person, physically speaking, and suddenly you become ill, I don't care whether it's a simple headache or catarrh or diarrhea, whatever it is. Of course, go ahead, pray, rebuke the devil, do everything, but don't ever forget this. Take time out and pay attention. Did you hear what I said? I'm not saying attention to your sickness. I didn't say browse the web and see what the doctor said about this kind of trouble that comes suddenly at noonday. I didn't say so. He said, if you shall diligently hearken or listening to the voice of the Lord thy God so as to obey all these commandments, that is, pay attention, take the word, stay back one weekend. One of the problems we have as Christians, we work too hard. Did you hear what I said? One of our problems, it is forbidden that a Christian should work very hard. I have said that hard work doesn't kill. It does. It kills Christians. It may not kill unbelievers, but it kills Christians. A Christian shouldn't work very hard. You should work hard. Amen? Remove very from your own hard work. It's against the will of God. It is vain to rise up early, to go to bed late. Whatever you harvest in that process is a bread of sorrows. I pray you walk with God and understand what I'm saying. There's no reason why you should be up at 12 midnight. MTN says they can only give you night browsing. Browse from 9 to 10. Go and sleep.
Wake up 6, do another 1 hour, is good enough. There's no glory in Christians bragging about how hard they work. There's no glory in it. I know this is not popular, it's not nice and normal, but I will say it. I have discovered that it is not good. Jesus gave a commandment. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The ninth comment when everybody should go to sleep. He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early. If you're a student, all those reading at midnight is a waste of time. Your problem is that you watch Man U during the day. Yes. If you're a student, whether you are here, you are listening to this on TV, on tape, wherever, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ not to watch one local home video throughout the semester. What is that? My amen.
Amen.
That's not good enough. Another one.
Amen.
Because these are people that tell 30 minute stories in 4 hours. How will you make progress? That's my personal commandment to you. If you are one of the students of the word that I teach, follow that word. That's why you read at 5 a.m. At 2 a.m. Because you were watching a home movie in the afternoon. Listen. If I say this, look, listen. Let me quickly give you one prayer. Hold on to it. At the same time when I finish, especially if you're a student. Listen, let me first tell you something so that you can say amen properly. When I was in university, one of my classmates, one day we were discussing. No, actually, one day I went to class. One of my classmates, I was leaving the class. I still remember the lady's name, and I can still see her face. So she was sitting near the door as I was leaving the class. I said, Banky, are you going? I said, yes, I'm tired. Today the thing just didn't flow at all. I didn't read today. That, look at it. Now listen to this. I was in class for about an hour. I said, look, I read only these pages. I showed her like 3 pages of our textbook, our physiology textbook, Guyton, they call it. Textbook of physiology. And the thing is not flowing, I'm going. She went through it, and said, it didn't flow. You stayed 1 hour, you read this. I said, yes. He said, this normally takes me a whole night. A whole night? Now listen. Later I found out my classmate said I read very fast. That typical regular assimilation, I used to eat like 8 to 10 pages of that book in an hour. On a good day, I go through like 8 to 10 pages, 1 hour. And I mean, I'm talking about assimilating. And one day I was reading with one of my classmates, and he eats 14 pages in an hour. Average in my class was like 4, 5. No, I want you to know that, see, these things happen. Because I want to pray a prayer for you. That's what I want you to know. So don't say that, Pastor, slow down that prayer. Waiting. I want to warn you ahead. Listen, that's why I stop copying. I told you, you don't know who you are copying. Some people you are copying who are reading 24 hours, they are slow. Yeah. You see, a cheetah wants to run. He said, we have to run 24 hours. I said, because the snail, you know, is always walking. Let me now pray my prayer for you as a student. You will assimilate at least 5 times as fast as your peers in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I just converted 1 hour to 5 hours for you. You will absorb in 1 hour what previously used to take you 5.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I told you that story to let you know it happens. Are you getting my point? So that you can set target for yourself. Go and sleep. You don't have to pray, read around the clock. It is not godly. I know people have testimonies. I am giving you the sayings of God. Assimilation, blessing, is not tied to the longevity of hours you spend in class. There's one word in English that God gave to us. The word is optimum. Everybody say optimum.
Optimum.
Yes, you should optimize your reading. You should do what?
Optimize.
The word is optimized. There is what is optimum. Why should they be using it to teach economics? The law of diminishing returns. The first 1 hour, you assimilate maybe 5 pages. The second 1 hour, you assimilate 3 pages. The third 1 hour, you're on one page. You should know that the Holy Spirit has departed from you. Go and sleep. Stop wasting time during the day. If Kano Wako beats Okocha, what do you concern you? These boys collect 21 million naira a month. And you want to die for them. Have they ever given you a tithe or an offering? A time will come when you will cross your leg, you buy a 72-inch LED TV and pay DSTV full bouquet, high TV, all of them put together, and call Kanoya, play, rewind it, play. But not now. They are crazy Christians that don't come for Bible study when UEFA Champions League is in there, they are playing finals. If you ever done that as a Christian, you must repent in the name of Jesus Christ. It's against the will of God. You are not walking by faith. You are walking by pure stupidity. And I've told you that there's a world of difference between Christianity and stupidity. They are not the same religion at all. I can show you where stupid people gather. Come there at night. They are there downstairs. You see all the girls. You see all the men. But you're not one of them in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah.
A wise man. Can't be using precious time to be watching. The word of God is coming forth. Yeah, today. You know me, I only know man, you and those. I don't know many of them. Okay, the Borussia Dortmund. So they are playing Ajax Amsterdam. And you will come late for Bible study. If you do that again, may God forgive you before I say something bad. You are telling God it's not important. You are telling God it's not important. Because you have been so entrenched in this silly thing they call football. Let me remind you, it's 22 adults chasing a rubber ball. If you want to know how silly it is, go and watch American football, which you don't understand. Then, you see, what are they doing? The same way you are confused. That is how God is confused when you are playing football. What is this boy doing? I told you to go for Bible study. He's watching match. Students of the world, never watch home movie, matches, anything when the word of God is going on. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Let me sit on my main message. My main message is that you will not work too hard to succeed in life in Jesus' name. You don't have to. When it is night, sleep. When it is night, what do?
Sleep.
Don't even browse again at night. All those browsing of poverty. All night browsing, 200 naira. That's why you can't add weight. How can you add weight? When you're always awake, when real people are asleep. All night browsing. That time is over in Jesus' name. What have I said? Christians are supposed to labor optimally. They don't labor excessively. They walk the walk of him that sent them. Why am I saying that? All right? Because I've discovered. Sometimes, he said, pay, take heed. You understand? Pay attention. Listen. If physical ailment slows you down, are you getting my point? Slow down. That's what I'm saying. Slow down to consider the word of God. I've heard people say that Christians should work hard. Hard work does not kill. Believe me, it does. If you work too hard, it kills. I've quoted this man for you before. What is his name? Paul Getty. He said, how do you become rich? He said, it's simple. Rise up early, go to bed late, and strike oil. Go and read his story. At the time, he was the richest man in the world, but he was also, at a point in time, a certified lunatic. That's not supposed to be a joke. The man was mentally out of order in the latter days of his life. He was paranoid. He lived alone. One of his children said, money was a curse to our family. Be careful who you follow. Tetona, I told you, used to work 18 hours a day. He kept on divorcing the wives. They are not wicked people, the women. They couldn't understand the husband they did not have. How can a man work 18 hours a day? Even you don't want to marry him. What am I saying? Let's not play into the hands of the devil by chasing things that God did not give us to chase. If another man dog lost, waiting concern me. There are people running up and down, chasing other people's dogs. Bingo is lost. Is it your bingo? No. No, some of the races we run is a race that's not our own. The car God won't give you easy. You don't need it to. That's the one that will jump and break your leg. You are getting my point? I'm just adding that clause so that Christians will understand some things. When you wake up in the morning, read the Bible. Pray. Read the prayer for your healing. Confess the word of God. Quench that phone. When it is night. In case of an emergency, let them call the police. Or fire service. You are none of the above. Don't be pretending. Say they may need me at night. Get two phones. Give your mother one special line. Your close relatives, one special line. The normal line. Eh? Point charm. So maybe your wife wants to call you at night. Let her call the second one. I hope you are getting the spirit of what I'm saying. You must rest and allow God to infuse a blessed spirit into your soul. That's what the Bible calls the peace of God. That peace of God is not just a man. No. It's a spiritual force which you only are able to imbibe when you are ready to cast your burdens upon the Lord. He said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. James said, cast your burden upon him, for he cares for you. Back to Paul. Paul now said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will mount guard upon your soul. Are you getting my point? It will protect you from all evil.
Amen.
Allow it. What did I say?
Allow it.
What did I say?
Allow it.
Allow it. Allow it. Have you learned anything today?
Yes, sir.
If you're blessed today, say amen.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and say, Father, we thank you.